Welcome to Water Online Radio's coverage from WEFTEC, broadcasting live from Chicago, Illinois. WEFTEC 2015, one world, one water, one event. Water Online Radio is brought to you by WaterOnline.com, showcasing today's water industry leaders and innovators. And now, here are your hosts, Todd Schnick and Kelly Riggs.
All right, welcome back to Water Online Radio's fifth exciting year of coverage from WEFTEC. I'm your host, Todd Schnick, joined by my friend and colleague, Kelly Riggs. Kelly, we have wrapped our morning session of our day one coverage from WEFTEC. What a great morning. I expect the afternoon is going to be just as stellar.
Absolutely. Part two, day one. A lot of great guests, a lot of industry leaders this afternoon on our schedule. Really can't wait to see what we get out of it.
And our next conversation is on a subject that we don't get a chance to talk a lot about on the show. So it's going to be really, really interesting, very informative. We're joined by Sarah Delorier. She's the climate change lead with Corello Engineers. Sarah, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Well, it's good to have you. Thanks for carving out some time to join us. We've had some fun getting to know you pre-show, so this should be a great conversation. Before we get into our very, very important conversation, take a few quick seconds. Tell us a little bit about you and your background, and then give us that 10,000-foot view of Corello. What do you do? How do you serve your market?
Sure. Like you said, my name's Sarah Delorier. I've been with Corello for 10 years, focusing on climate change issues. And my background's in atmospheric, oceanic, and space science from the University of Michigan, as well as environmental engineering and water resources. So I got a master's in both of those areas and have since joined Corello right after that and jumped right into master planning for wastewater facilities as well as water supply planning for water agencies. And using my background in both climate change and engineering or water resources engineering. And so it's been a real, exciting time for me to do this because of all the regulations as well as the new science that's coming out to water agencies and wastewater agencies to plan for climate change in the future.
Well, put more simply, Kelly, she's smarter than you and I.
She's way smarter than you and I. Hey, climate change, high visibility topic, but let's connect the dots. How does it impact municipal drinking water facilities and, part two, wastewater facilities as well?
Well, municipal drinking water facilities, we're really looking at existing water quality or source water quality and how that may be impacted by changing temperatures as well as the changing precipitation factors that, you know, having increased runoff coming into these water supply sources, increased total dissolved solids. Really, what are these water agencies going to be having to prepare for in treatment? In the future, we're thinking, okay, how are these changes going to be increasing in variability over time? And in what time horizon so that these facilities can better prepare adaptability or flexibility in their systems so that they can actually address those issues.
So risk management, is that a good way to describe what you do?
Yes, in part, for sure.
Mm-hmm. All right, well, as I mentioned at the top of the show, Sarah, this is not something we talk about a lot on this show. Now, that may mean that Kelly and I haven't been talking to the right people, but I worry about these facilities. Are they prepared for a potential climate change impact?
Oh, that is a good question. It depends on, the time horizon you're looking at and the region in the U.S. that you're looking at. Because really, there are different impacts regionally for precipitation pattern changes. If you're, on the coast, sea level rise, tide level changes, and just really thinking about temperature changes of your source water, it's all going to be different because you have different projected ranges of higher temperatures and higher tides depending on where you are regionally. So,
now, I suspect that a water professional in this industry is far more aware of this issue than, say, two radio hosts. So, but for someone who's listening to this, who is in this industry but maybe is not as educated or as aware of all the nuances that they should be, what is some advice that you could share in terms of how they could get up to speed and become more aware of this as it impacts their job going forward?
Oh, that is a good question. Depending on whether you're on the water side or the wastewater side, there are, different organizations. Like the American Water Works Association has a climate change committee, but they're also, they have a website where they have different resources for water agencies that are directed towards them to help them learn 101 what climate change is and what the impacts will be regionally. On wastewater side, there's similar type resources that are available. And one, we were going to be talking about tools that the Environmental Protection Agency, EPA, has actually put together this CREATE tool, is what it's called, the Climate Resilience Evaluation and Assessment Tool. And it actually looks at both water agency side and wastewater agency side. It has this 101 on climate change. You can look at it, actually enter in your information on your location, what your agency or your facility consists of, and then you can see what are the projected vulnerabilities and at what treatment, train or spot in your treatment chain process they may be impacted at, and give you kind of these guidelines. So here's where your focus area is for risk and vulnerability, and here's some things you need to consider in your planning efforts and at what time you need to consider those. And then from there, you can focus in more. But I would recommend looking at that kind of a tool to just as a starting point to understand what it is your agency needs to start looking at.
Sure. The challenge, obviously, is balancing budgets against the concerns, right?
Yes.
So there may be a number of needs or a number of priorities. How does a municipality go about prioritizing how they pay for those? Are there some things that are more important or perhaps less expensive to implement? Does it make sense in those priorities?
Oh, that's that is a good question as well, of course, because right now the priorities for many agencies are their existing assets, because there's a lot of aging infrastructure out there. Mm. And you want to look at that, but you also want to look at, okay, how is the projected climate change going to impact those assets as well, and kind of layering on top of it. So you can set a prioritization in your asset management kind of list. And that's where I would really start and identify the overall need or risk in terms of dollars. And as far as sources of money, depends. You could go at a federal level where they're looking at some resilience funding to be distributed. And then there's state level type funding, whether it's mitigation type side for greenhouse gas emissions reduction, if it's a, the mitigation side, or if it's an adaptation side of things. There are some funding in, say, in California where they're looking at sea level rise adaptation. But really, you have to understand where you're at first in order to be able to apply for those funds and eventually receive them.
Makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Sarah, no surprise to you that all day long on the show, we talk to organizations that continue to innovate, and half of them are launching new product at this show, and they're continuing to try to advance and move the ball down the field in this industry. Is it your sense that most organizations that work in this space, do they have an eye on climate change and how it's going to impact? Is the technology that's being launched and developed today, is that geared up to be able to address this issue as it continues to unfold?
What I've been picking up on, because I've been tracking this over the last 10 years, is there's increased awareness. There's not general awareness of what the issue is and what it can turn into for, their specific agency or what technologies are being produced. There definitely is an effort now or a shift in focus to climate change and how it will impact these agencies and the necessary technologies to be able to, adapt to and cope with the changes. But we're just starting to see that happen or that shift. And so I'm seeing now more in conferences, though, there are increased sessions and topics focusing on how do we plan for and how do we incorporate and implement what comes out of those plans for adapting to climate change. But it's just starting to shift that way.
Well, it's one thing to talk about it in a panel discussion at a show like WEFTEC, or ACE. It's another thing to get out in the real world and actually execute and apply this. I mean, so it sounds like we're finally kind of tipping them into where we need to be, but a long way to go, yeah?
Yeah, there definitely is a long way to go, but we are getting the support. So I think that we'll see things move or more quickly from this point.
Good. Are there specific tools or procedures that utilities can adopt to ensure their resiliency in this area?
To ensure the resiliency, that's an interesting term. It's to be able to ensure that you're flexible enough to be resilient.
Yes.
And there are different guidelines that are out there and tools. I mentioned CREATE. By EPA. Mm-hmm. EPA also has a guide for water and wastewater utilities to become more sustainable. That in turn also is considering climate change impacts. And there are other guides, manuals that are being developed. One in American Water Works Association, they're putting together a climate action plan manual so that it will guide water agencies in how to develop their own climate action plan, looking at both greenhouse gas emissions management as well as adaptation that will be out in the next 2 years as well. I mean, it'll take time, but there are, these beginning level guidelines out there by EPA that I would highly recommend folks look at. But there's a lot of, scientific information as well.
Sure. Municipalities aren't just being thrown out in the middle of this without help, is what you're saying.
Yeah, no, definitely not. And they can, reach out to, American Water Works Association Climate Change Committee or WEF, Carbon Resource and Recovery Committee. We're trying to cover all these topics and get the resources out to folks as well as we can.
So what you're saying is no one can say there's nothing out there for us to learn about.
Exactly.
There are resources out there.
Oh, Definitely.
Is this issue universal or is it strictly regional? I mean, when I read stories about this whole issue of climate change, and I hear the horror stories of it in X number of years, Florida will be underwater and Texas mm-hmm. will be underwater. And what's your take on that? Is it universal or is it regional?
Well, it's a universal issue with different regional impacts. And so we have to all be looking at it, but we have to look at the regional models and what their projections are so that we can understand how are these systems needing to be altered or modified or completely redone or relocated in order to adapt to climate change. But it definitely is a universal issue. It's just you're going to have different focus areas.
Understood.
How do we better communicate in this area? How do we get the message out? How do we talk to people about what the needs are? I mean, I think of the average, Sarah, the average small utility or municipality. Mm-hmm. It's probably not high priority for them, and they've got budgetary issues right. of all kinds. How do we better communicate?
Well, I think we just get Sarah on the show on a weekly basis.
Yeah. I would love that.
Clearly.
No, I think the main thing you do is, like, for the West, Western U.S. is going through a major drought, right? And we're just facing all these. I'm from California. I've been facing a lot of these issues with clients. And what are the main, approaches that are taken to reach out to the public and get their education up is really public workshops and actually putting together literature. Again, high-level 101 type literature, getting it out to them, and then making visits, actually. So you can have kind of a higher-level public workshop for the agencies and then have those agencies have public outreach through them to their customers. And so it really comes down to kind of a grassroots level reaching out personally.
Well, we do appreciate you being on the show to help us begin that communication process. So thanks
for
that.
Thank you for having me.
It was our pleasure. Sarah, we are running low on time. Before I do let you go, how can people contact you should they have questions? And where can they learn about all the great work you're doing at Corolo?
Sure. Corolo Engineers, you can visit us at www.corolo.com. My telephone number is 925-932-1710, and you can, reach out to me that way. You can find my email and my profile on that website as well. And thank you for having me.
The pleasure is ours. Sarah DeLaurier, Climate Change Lead with Corolo Engineers. Again, thanks for being with us. Appreciate your time. All right. Well, that's all the time we have for right now. On behalf of my co-host, Kelly Riggs, our producer, Floyd Fischel, and all of us at Water Online, I am Todd Schnick. Our exclusive coverage from WEFTEC will be right back.